The AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 a.m. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Canadian wildfire smoke should leave Wisconsin this morning. After that, get ready for the hottest weather of the summer. Meteorologist Mace Michaels predicts humid highs in the 90s all week long.
Gradually, southerly winds will push the smoke back northward, but that southerly wind is what will warm our temperatures up. It's going to be a week of lots of heat, some humidity, and minimal chances for showers and storms. Hottest days, Wednesday, Thursday. For Civic Media News, I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels.
New bipartisan efforts to address clean water issues in Wisconsin. Governor Tony Evers used his weekly radio address to point out compromises he found with Republican lawmakers in regards to water quality. The state's next two-year budget will include $125 million for cleanup and prevention surrounding PFAS or forever chemicals.
At the end of the day, we have to make sure that every Wisconsinite has access to clean, safe water, no matter whether it's for drinking in our homes and schools, for our crops or livestock, or our natural waters for hunting, fishing, and outdoor recreation.
The budget will also include a provision to help Wisconsinites replace contaminated wells. Municipal flood control and targeted runoff management will receive support as well. Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature are considering how to respond to Governor Evers' most controversial line item veto. The Democratic governor used his authority to increase education spending for 402 years. Republican lawmakers might sue to limit future line item vetoes. They might draft a constitutional amendment. Former Governor Tommy Thompson says he supports the line item veto, but that Evers made a poor choice in this case.
I think it's sort of a Pyrrhic victory, because what he's done, he's put a tax on the property taxpayers, because the legislature doesn't have to appropriate any money, and they probably won't. So the property taxpayer now is going to be on the hook for all this increased spending that the schools are going to do out for 400 years.
Thompson is this week's guest on Newsmakers on the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. Republicans are changing their tune about early voting. The GOP is launching an effort called Bank Your Vote. Party leaders raised doubts about the security and validity of early ballots for several years now. But all of Wisconsin's Republican congressional delegation are backing the campaign. The Experimental Aircraft Association, or EAA, kicked off its annual air venture in Oshkosh yesterday. The event is expected to bring more than 500,000 visitors to the Fox Valley. The week-long festivities are expected to bring 10,000 flyers and will include air shows, workshops, demos, and more. Experts at the University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh believe the event could have an economic impact of $200 million. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. And this is Civic Media News.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. Former Burnett County DA Daniel Steffen will spend a year and a half in prison after a St. Croix County jury found him guilty of three counts of representations depicting nudity. According to the criminal complaint, Steffen filmed sexual activity with himself and two different victims at his home in Polk County in 2018. The victims didn't know they were being filmed. One of the victims was being charged by the Burnett County DA's office when the activity happened. After his prison time is up, Steffen will also have 2 years of extended supervision and 4 years of probation. The person hurt after a crash on Highway 8 near Deer Lake or east of St. Croix Falls Sunday afternoon has died. The State Patrol said that there was a two-vehicle crash that resulted in one person, 83-year-old Kenneth Golden of Amory, being flown to a hospital with life-threatening injuries. On Monday, the State Patrol said Golden died due to those injuries. From the Civic Media News Desk here in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Christian Yelich with a walk-off hit for a Brewers win. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers had struggled again offensively, but in the bottom of the ninth, with two men on, Christian Yelich was up next at bat.
Ground ball right, side base hit. He'll send Perkins. Here comes Fraley. It's over! Christian Yelich and the Brew Crew walk it off against the Reds.
Jeff Levering, Bally Sports Wisconsin. The Brewers beat the Reds 3-2 in front of 29,000 fans. Sal Frelick had a solo home run, becoming the first Brewers rookie to have five hits and a home run in his first three games. The last player to do that, Paul Molitor, in 1978. Jesse Winker has struggled at the plate, but was able to help the team with a single as a pinch hitter in the ninth. Winker says that Craig Counsell and bench coach Pat Murphy told him about his new role with the team.
You know, Counsell and Murph communicated to me the situation, and I was ready for it. Physically and mentally, and I was just happy to, you know, just hit it hard somewhere.
Counsell on the crew leaving 14 base runners stranded last night.
Yeah, it was frustrating, certainly, you know, with just leaving some opportunities out there, and, you know, Yelly, you know, got a ground ball through. You know, obviously, Wink had a really nice at-bat to, you know, get a runner in scoring position, and a good offensive inning, really.
Game two of the series, 7-10 tonight. Corbin Burns against the Reds rookie Andrew Abbott. NBA, tragic news for the family of Bucks new head coach Adrian Griffin, as the father of his two-year-old grandson, Jace, found the child unresponsive in their home, later pronounced dead. No foul play suspected, but an investigation continues, the coach releasing a statement saying the loss of the child will be felt forever. NFL, the Packers CEO Mark Murphy delivering the team's numbers at the shareholders meeting and unveiled the new stadium scoreboards. Murphy asked how long does he think it's going to take before they know if quarterback Jordan Love will be able to make it in the NFL.
I'd say at least half a season to know.
That's the Packers' Mark Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Welcome into the Stu Daniels Show on a Tuesday morning, 25th day of July, 6.5 minutes after 8 o'clock right now. Going to be another warm and sunny day today across western Wisconsin. Looking for highs today in the upper 80s, if you're up north in the Hayward area, and in the mid-90s, and then even in the upper 90s in the southern areas. La Crosse today expecting 92 degrees. Eau Claire also 92, probably around 90 degrees in Amory. So the heat wave continues. In fact, they are calling for warm temperatures all week long in Wisconsin, warm and humid. I'll get to more of that in a little bit. Let me check in with the producer of the show. Aaron, how are you doing today?
Doing well this morning. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm doing great too, man. It's a nice day. Summertime rolls on. Man, anything new on your end that I should know about?
Not since yesterday, no.
Not since yesterday. All right. Well, let me tell you what's going on in the world of sports. The Brewers beat the Reds last night 3-2 on a walk-off single by Christian Yelich. In the ninth inning, the Brewers are now they're now a game and a half ahead of the second place Reds in the National League Central, and game two of that three-game series is tonight in Milwaukee. By the way, I do have some current temperatures here. La Crosse is at 73 degrees already, and up in Hayward, they're at 69. So a warm start to the day. And in the headlines, Wisconsin's 10-day forecast calls for 90-degree heat and high humidity. Also, homicides in Milwaukee have dropped by nearly a third so far this year. The town of Campbell may sue the city of La Crosse for $42 million over forever chemical contamination, the PFAS. And Chris Christie says Donald Trump is afraid to appear at the first Republican debate in Milwaukee. Now, do you think he's just trolling him? Do you think he's... I guess he may be doing so, but if you put out to the public that Donald Trump is afraid of doing something, then the chances of him doing it are probably greater, I would say. And that's probably why Chris Christie is doing that. He goes out in public and says that Donald Trump is afraid to appear at the debate in Milwaukee. Then Who knows how Trump will react, but we'll see what happens. The first story I want to get to today, and by the way, if you have any input on the things we'll be discussing today, feel free to give us a call. I'd like to hear what you have to say. The phone number is 715-388-7155. 10-day forecast in Wisconsin calls for blistering temperatures and high humidity. That's the headline in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And the story says that historic heat waves in the Southwest are heading toward Wisconsin in what will surely bring the hottest week of the year so far. According to experts, highs are expected to hover in the mid-90s, and dew points are expected to spike, resulting in a hot and muggy wave of weather. With the heat quickly approaching, here's what you need to know about how hot it will be, how humidity will come into play, and how long this heat wave will last, and how to prepare and react when it arrives. And then there's a headline for the next portion that says Western Wisconsin is expected to see the highest temperatures this week. It says Maria Krantz, a National Weather Service meteorologist, said that the heat wave's current path means that Western Wisconsin will bear the brunt of this system, but that doesn't mean the rest of the state is off the hook. Here's a quote. She says the high pressure ridge that's over the Southwest is going to inch eastward, and that will nudge those hot temperatures into Wisconsin. We're also going to have some southerly winds throughout the week, and that will ensure that the heat is brought into our area, end quote. While temperatures won't reach the scalding highs seen in the Southwest, most of the state will be at or around 90 degrees by Tuesday, today, and temperatures are only expected to rise throughout the week. Krantz said Wednesday and Thursday are expected to be the hottest days, with temperatures in West Wisconsin potentially reaching the upper 90s. It says here that breezes from Lake Michigan will mean that Milwaukee and other places near the lake will see slightly lower temperatures, though highs are still expected to creep into the mid-90s on Wednesday and Thursday. Friday in the Milwaukee area could still see highs in the 90s, but as the weekend goes on, the Weather Service predicts that temperatures will drop into the low 80s, where they have been for most of the summer. Krantz said that a comfortable dew point, a measurement that indicates humidity, is around 50. As temperatures start to rise this week, that number, the dew point number, could get as high as 70, potentially causing an excessive heat warning to be issued. Her quote is, "We issue excessive heat warnings anytime it is above a 100-degree heat index value. And right now, Thursday is the most likely day that we would have to do that. Spikes in dew points are a common occurrence in Wisconsin, but Krantz warned that the higher values expected on Wednesday and Thursday will make it noticeably hotter. And ahead of this week's temperature spikes, the Weather Service has advised Wisconsinites to check on family members, especially elderly individuals, to make sure they have running air conditioning. Other recommendations include limiting your time outdoors, avoiding exposure to the sun, staying hydrated, protecting pets. That's very important. And under no circumstances leave babies or pets in a car, even if the windows are cracked. The heat and humidity could fuel much-needed rain in Wisconsin." It says here that heat and humidity are food for storm systems, and Krantz said that an influx of both this week could spur much-needed rain across Wisconsin. Quote, "It's very difficult to time when these storms are going to occur. It's just like the kind of storms that develop small but then feed off each other and develop into something bigger that can happen anywhere in the Midwest," end quote. After historically low rain numbers this spring and summer, Wisconsin has seen more rain in recent weeks, but the state is still comfortably behind where it would usually be this time of year. And I wonder why they use the word comfortably, because it doesn't seem like there's anything comfortable about it. We got 14 minutes after 8 o'clock right now. The next story that I wanted to get to here was a story about the former Vice President Mike Pence, And a headline in the USA Today says, after breaking with Donald Trump, Mike Pence is selling kindness. Is anyone buying? Are you tired of the Trump show? Pence is centering his presidential campaign on character and civility. But many voters want a brawler. And I would add to that, that many voters on the right side, many conservative voters want a brawler. But that's just my opinion. What do you think? Feel free to give us a call if you have an opinion. 715-388-7155 is the phone number. And this story was just updated 3 minutes ago. It has a dateline of North Conway, New Hampshire. And it starts this way. It says, as waiters delivered burgers, fish tacos, and summer salads to a lunch crowd gathered in a New Hampshire restaurant to hear Mike Pence speak, one listener rose to offer some campaign advice to the former vice president who is seeking to become the Republican White House nominee in 2024. Tom Laughlin, 77 years old, an independent from Florida visiting the White Mountains to escape the heat, said he'd love to see Pence become president. But Pence has to more directly take on Donald Trump, who Laughlin said should never be in public office again. Here's a quote. It says, oh, bull. And then another word that I can't say on the radio, but that was said by a man who interjected in the audience, reflecting the passionate and divided views of Trump that his former number two has to navigate as he tries to deny Trump the nomination. So you see what happened here is the one gentleman, Tom Laughlin, 77 years old, the guy from Florida, stood up and he said that Pence has to more directly take on Donald Trump. But then the other guy just stands up and yells out, oh, BS. Evidently, he is a Trump supporter. The story from USA Today goes on and says, Pence, Laughlin continued, will never win, quote, until the day you stand up to that man. For Laughlin, that means going beyond Pence's excellent defiance of Trump on January 6th of 2021, when he refused to unlawfully block Congress's acceptance of the Electoral College votes won by Joe Biden. Quote, maybe you're too good a Christian to ever do that, Laughlin said of the further confrontation he wants to see. During the 3 days last week that Pence spent traveling from New Hampshire's border with Massachusetts to the Lakes region and then the sparsely populated North Country, where drivers are warned to break for moose, and those turning out to meet him frequently commented on his character. They called him a man of morality, a man of his word, a good dude, a Christian, a gentleman. They praised his calm demeanor and his dignity. But there are also questions about whether that's enough. It's not sufficient for Trump critics like Laughlin, who want Pence to go harder after the former president. It doesn't sway Trump supporters who think Pence betrayed Trump. And it's an open question whether it's a winner for Republicans like John Roberts, a 75-year-old retired police officer from North Conway who came to the meet and greet to find out if there's more to Pence than his strong values. Stick around. Got a quick break coming up. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Yeah. One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Oconomowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raised the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Lots of sunshine today, with daytime highs approaching 90. Southerly winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies tonight, chance for scattered storms, lows dip down to about 67. Sunny skies tomorrow, chance for scattered storms, 89. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Thursday and Friday. Mid-90s Thursday, upper 80s by Friday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 72.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
Sun is shining. The weather is sweet. Make you want to move your dancing feet to the rescue. Here I
somewhere 23 and a half minutes after 8 o'clock now on this Tuesday morning. Thank you for tuning in to the Stu Daniels Show. Hope you're having a good day so far. And if you'd like to join us on the phone, feel free. The phone number is 715-388-7155. Just before the break, we were discussing Mike Pence and the fact that many conservatives and or Republicans And in the story, they're in New Hampshire. But many folks who are considering Mike Pence as a potential Republican nominee for president want him to be more forceful, more of a fighter, and get in there and stand up against his former boss, Donald Trump. And in the story from USA Today that we were discussing before the break, there was a gentleman named John Roberts, a 75-year-old retired police officer from North Conway, New Hampshire. And he was saying that it's an open question whether or not Trump, or excuse me, whether or not Pence can stand up to Trump. His quote is, "I'm just wondering if he's tough enough. I think he's got the right morals and all that stuff. I just want to make sure, can he follow through if he has to?" His wife, however, had no reservations. She said, "I think he's got some fire. You don't have to be screaming to have a voice." Pence is definitely not screaming after 4 years of trying to soften Trump's edges, explaining and defending his tweets, insults, and tantrums. Pence is standing on his own, firmly but politely. "I don't want to waver on my conservative values," he said in North Conway, "but I think you can be tough and kind." Tired of the Trump show? Pence is centering his campaign on character and civility. That's built in part, but not entirely, on January 6th, the lens through which most people view him, to both his political peril and his benefit. Pence told USA Today he doesn't know if January 6th changed him, quote, "but I think it may have introduced a part of me to the American people that they didn't know was there," he said in an interview. "I'm somebody that believes that adversity reveals character. And I think in that day, the American people saw, I'm going to put my oath to the Constitution. I'm going to put the promises I made to them first and foremost, whatever it means to me. The Bible verse, Psalm 15, that has lived with me ever since, says he keeps his oath even when it hurts." Asked if other Republican candidates not named Trump should have to say what they would have done in Pence's place, he said he'll leave that to the media. Asked if he's going to tell Trump directly on the debate stage that his actions endangered him and his family, Pence said he wouldn't hesitate if I feel it's necessary to do that. Quote, "he knows what I thought about what he did, and he knows why I did what I did." In his soothing baritone, Pence told voters in North Conway he's eager to debate Trump about what matters for the future: restricting abortion, controlling Social Security and Medicare spending, standing up to aggressors around the world. But he'll do it in his own way. Quote, "I'm not interested in trading insults with my old friend. I'm not. Some people think that's the way to win the presidency. I don't. But laying out the choice for the American people, we've been doing it. We'll keep doing it." Pence also wants voters to know who he was before Trump: a conservative leader. When he served in the U.S. House, Pence was still friendly enough with Democrats that civil rights icon John Lewis invited Pence to walk with him across the Edmund Pettus Bridge for the 45th anniversary of Bloody Sunday. Mike Pence, is he a good alternative to Trump? 8:28 right now, going to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
This summer.
summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. The record-smashing heat has now moved into the Midwest and Great Plains. From Wichita to Minneapolis, millions will be feeling it, says ABC senior meteorologist Rob Marciano.
95 in Minneapolis. That heat will build in Minneapolis as we go through the week to near 100 on Thursday. Chicago, you're in it as well. And Louisville into the mid-90s. And some of this heat and humidity gets here in the Northeast come week's end.
The Justice Department has sued Texas Governor Greg Abbott over newly installed floating barriers along the Rio Grande. It's the latest aggressive tactic aimed at stopping migrants from crossing into the U.S. from Mexico. The White House calls the razor wire wrap buoys cruel and illegal. In Odessa, Ukraine, they're cleaning up after Russian missile and drone strikes. Among the targets, the Transfiguration Cathedral, the city's first Orthodox church and a symbol in the center of the city. This is ABC News.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. Former Burnett County DA Daniel Steffen will spend a year and a half in prison after a St. Croix County jury found him guilty of three counts of representations depicting nudity. According to the criminal complaint, Steffen filmed sexual activity with himself and two different victims at his home in Polk County in 2018. The victims didn't know they were being filmed. One of the victims was being charged by the Burnett County DA's office when the activity happened. After his prison time is up, Steffen will also have 2 years of extended supervision and 4 years of probation. The person hurt after a crash on Highway 8 near Deer Lake or east of St. Croix Falls Sunday afternoon has died. The State Patrol said that there was a two-vehicle crash that resulted in one person, 83-year-old Kenneth Golden of Amory, being flown to a hospital with life-threatening injuries. On Monday, the State Patrol said Golden died due to those injuries. From the Civic Media News Desk here in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup. Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
It's a quarter to three. There's no one in the place except you and me. So set 'em up, Joe. I got a little story you ought to know. We're drinking, my friend, to the end of a brief episode. So make it one for my baby, and one more for the road.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. 8:34 right now. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show. You got Willie Nelson on the radio. What more could you want? Welcome back to the show. In the headlines today, I mentioned that Chris Christie says Donald Trump is afraid to appear at the first Republican debate in Milwaukee. Well, now there's a headline here that says the RNC chairperson, Ronna McDaniel, predicts that Trump will keep us all guessing on the Milwaukee debate. This is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It says here that when it comes to figuring out whether former President Donald Trump will attend next month's Republican presidential debate in Milwaukee, Republican National Committee Chairwoman Ronna McDaniel is just like everyone else, waiting for an answer. Quote, my guess is, knowing President Trump, he's going to keep us all guessing until the very end, McDaniel said on a conference call with Wisconsin reporters on Monday. Trump, who has a wide lead in most primary polls among Republicans, hasn't committed to appearing at the August 23rd debate at Fiserv Forum. Recent polling from the Marquette University Law School indicates a tighter Republican race in Wisconsin. Quote, I think it would be good for everybody in the country to see every candidate running for president seeking the Republican nomination debate our ideas. Contrast what our party stands for versus Joe Biden, McDaniel said. Trump recently told Fox News, quote, Ronald Reagan didn't do it, and a lot of other people didn't do it. When you have a big lead, you don't do it. End quote. During the interview with Maria Bartiromo, Trump added, I haven't really made up my mind. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie told the Journal Sentinel last week that the former president is afraid to face criticism. Quote, he is afraid, Christie said, and if he doesn't show up, it will purely be a decision based in fear, no matter what else he says. End quote. Man, Christie just taking a knife and jabbing it in there, and good for him. To make the debate stage, candidates have to clear polling and fundraising thresholds as well as sign a series of pledges, including agreeing to support the eventual party nominee. CNN reported that seven Republican candidates have met the polling threshold. That's Trump and Christie, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy, former Vice President Mike Pence, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, and South Carolina U.S. Senator Tim Scott. According to candidates on or their aides, CNN said those who have met the donor threshold include Trump and DeSantis, Scott and Haley, Christie, Ramaswamy, and North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum. During the conference call, McDaniel was also asked about the race for U.S. Senate in Wisconsin. So far, Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin has drawn no Republican challengers. Top recruit Mike Gallagher, a congressman from Green Bay, is running for re-election, as well as U.S. Representative Brian Steil of Janesville. Among those still considering the run are Madison businessman Eric Hovde, Franklin businessman Scott Meyer, and U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany, who represents northern Wisconsin. Quote, I think recruitment is going on for that race, McDaniel said. I think Tammy Baldwin is someone that is beatable. Well, I guess she has to say that, right, as the chairwoman of the RNC. Anyway, we've got 8:38 right now, and another story that I wanted to get to here. And by the way, I do have one about a scared Trump, speaking of Chris Christie's words, saying that Trump is afraid to appear in the debate. And this is from Salon. It says that scared Trump forced to raise a lot because his lawyers are holding him up for money, according to an analyst. This is from Gabriella Farragine of Salon, and it was posted yesterday. It says, former President Donald Trump's Truth Social rants may be an indication of his anxieties around his ever-expanding legal woes. According to MSNBC political commentator Molly Jong Fast, speaking with host Ayman Moyadeen, Jong Fast said that Trump may be scared about another indictment and ballooning legal fees. Quote, he needs to raise a lot of money because these lawyers are very expensive, she said. We've seen the reporting, especially those Florida lawyers with the security clearance are really holding him up for money. I would also say, remember Trump's thing as he is trying to kick the can as much as possible with all of these cases, right? She continued, this will be his second set of federal indictments and may not be in Florida. So he may not be able to kick the can the way that he would with Judge Aileen Cannon. So I think that is something to think about. But I do think he is ultimately quite scared. You are seeing him tweet out a lot of really violent and scary stuff. He's truthing it. He's not tweeting it. And he's trying to scare. He's trying to distract and get his supporters engaged. And he, again, needs to raise a lot of money. End quote. So, sounds like the former president is trying to instill fear in his followers, trying to get them to rally and give him money. Give him money to pay his legal bills. In fact, a new report that I saw earlier today says that most of the money that's being collected by Trump right now is going toward his legal bills. He's a multimillionaire or billionaire now. He's a billionaire who's collecting cash from everyday ordinary people to pay his legal bills. And I do get Trump's email messages. I've been on his email list for quite a few years, and the emails are coming in pretty fast and furious these days. All of them asking for cash to help save America. And as that report I was looking at earlier says, most of that cash is just going to pay off his legal bills, to pay his lawyers, and to find him more lawyers. So in addition to being ripped off by Donald Trump, normal people who support him, many, are also having to go to jail. There is a headline here from CNN Politics, which says, an Arkansas man who beat an officer with a flagpole on January 6th has been sentenced to 4 years in prison. And this was posted just today, this morning. In fact, just a few minutes ago. It says here that a 44-year-old Arkansas man who beat a police officer with a flagpole. Wait a minute, what happened to Back the Blue? Yeah, I don't know. But it says here that this guy beat a police officer with a flagpole during the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol. He was sentenced to 4 years in prison yesterday. Pete Steger is the gentleman's name. He pleaded guilty to assaulting, resisting, or impeding certain officers using a deadly or dangerous weapon, according to a release from the Department of Justice. And here's a quote. It says, according to court documents, on January 6th of 2021, Steger was part of a large armed mob that attacked police officers at the Lower West Terrace entrance of the U.S. Capitol building. At 4:27 p.m., police officers had been defending the archway opening to a corridor leading from the Lower West Terrace to the interior of the Capitol building for nearly 2 hours, advancing and retreating as rioters fought their way into the entrance, that release said, the press release. The department's news release says that Steger, at the time, quote, was positioned toward the bottom of a set of steps that led to the archway, carrying a flagpole with American flag, with an American flag affixed to it. Steger watched as co-defendants attacked the police line and dragged a police officer face down and head first out of the line and into the crowd of rioters. Once the others had dragged the officers, had dragged the officer into the crowd, Steger raised the flagpole that he was carrying and beat the downed police officer, striking him at least three times, end quote. And you may have seen the video of that. I know I've seen that video dozens of times over the past couple years. The story from Salon goes on and says that court records showed that the officer identified as B.M. lay on his stomach, surrounded, as Steger and other rioters beat him with an upside-down American flag on a flagpole and other objects. The officer, B.M., recalled, quote, being struck in the helmet multiple times with objects, and he believes the rioters had attempted to take him as deep into the crowd as possible, according to one of the judge's opinions in the trial. Following the attack, according to the Justice Department, Steger stood over the officer and yelled, F you, traitor. This is a police officer. Back to blue, right? Later in the day, Steger was filmed pointing at the Capitol building and stating, quote, everybody in there is a disgrace. That entire building is filled with treasonous traitors. Death is the only remedy for what's in that building. Calling for the death of legislators and others in the Capitol building. In addition to his 52-month sentence, he was also ordered to pay $2,000 in restitution and complete 36 months of supervised release. Steger previously told an FBI tipster that he thought he was attacking a member of the violent left-wing group Antifa, even though photos from the scene clearly show the officer wearing a police vest. He is one of the more than 1,000 individuals who have been arrested for crimes related to the January 6th riot, according to the Department of Justice. Back to blue, right? We support the police. You often hear Republicans and conservatives say that, but obviously over 1,000 of them have already been arrested and charged in that case of beating the police at the Capitol. 8:46 right now, going to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Does it hurt feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break. So we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag Civic Pints. Give blood and you could get a prize too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly clear this afternoon with a high of 90. Southerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tonight. Chance for scattered storms. Lows around 67. Bright sunshine expected tomorrow. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Highs around 89. Mid-90s Thursday with a chance for scattered storms. Much cooler Friday with highs in the upper 80s. Storms continue. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK 1260 AM. Right now 73.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Show 8:51 right now, almost 8:52 on this Tuesday morning, the 25th of July. 71 degrees in Eau Claire already, also 71 in Amory right now. And the next topic I wanted to get to was about our state Supreme Court. By the way, if you have any comments concerning what we're discussing today, feel free to call in. I'd love to hear from you and what you have to say. The phone number is 715-388-7155. I have a story here from the Wisconsin State Journal with a headline that says the Democrats eye Wisconsin High Court's new liberal majority to win abortion and redistricting rulings. This is by Scott Bauer, posted just this morning. It says Wisconsin's Supreme Court will flip from majority conservative to liberal control in August. And Democrats have high hopes the change will lead to the state's abortion ban being overturned and its maps redrawn to weaken Republican control of the legislature and congressional districts. Democrats in the perennial battleground state focused on abortion to elect a liberal majority to the court for the first time in 15 years. The Democratic Party spend $8 million to tilt the court's 4-3 conservative majority by one seat with the election of Janet Protasiewicz, who campaigned in favor of abortion rights and against the Republican-drawn map in a campaign. Her April victory broke national spending records for a state Supreme Court race. Still, there are no guarantees. Republicans were angered when Brian Hagedorn, a conservative candidate they backed in 2019 who went on to win his race, turned out to sometimes side with liberal justices. While the court is widely expected to weigh in on abortion and redistricting, liberals also are talking about bringing new challenges to school choice, voter ID, and Act 10. The 12-year-old law and signature legislative achievement by former Republican Governor Scott Walker that effectively ended collective bargaining for most public workers, quote, "When you don't know the extent of the battle you may have to fight, it's concerning," said attorney Rick Essenberg, president of the conservative Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. And it says here, some issues could take years to reach the court, said liberal attorney Lester Pines, who, like Essenberg, has argued numerous times before the state Supreme Court. Unlike under the conservative majority, Pines predicted the new liberal court will be unlikely to rule on cases before lower courts have heard them. Abortion access. There is already a pending case challenging an 1849 feticide law that has been widely interpreted as a ban on almost all abortions since the U.S. Supreme Court overturned a constitutional right to abortion last year. A circuit court judge ruled earlier this month that the case can proceed, while also calling into question whether the law actually bans abortions. The case is expected to reach the Supreme Court within months. Protasiewicz all but promised to overturn the ban by repeatedly speaking out for abortion rights, winning support from Planned Parenthood and others. Quote, "When you're a politician and you're perceived by the voters as making a promise and you don't keep it, they get angry," Essenberg said. Another case the state Supreme Court will be looking at probably are state maps. There is no current redistricting lawsuit, but Democrats or their allies are expected to file a new challenge this summer, seeking new districts before the 2024 election. The state Supreme Court upheld Republican-drawn maps in 2022. Those maps, which are widely regarded as among the most gerrymandered in the country, have helped Republicans increase their hold on the legislature to near supermajority levels, even as Democrats have won statewide elections, including Tony Evers as governor in 2018 and 2022, and Joe Biden as president in 2020. Protasiewicz declared those maps to be rigged and said during the campaign they should be given another look. Democrats also hope for new congressional maps, improving their chances in the state's two most competitive House districts held by Republicans. What we want to see is maps that are fair and that represent the will of the people and the actual makeup of their state, Democratic strategist Melissa Baldoff said. Another case would be concerning election laws. Four of the past six presidential elections in Wisconsin have been decided by less than a percentage point. The outgoing conservative court came within one vote of overturning Biden's win in 2020. The new court will be in control to hear any challenges leading up to the election and in the months after. That includes voting rules. Courts have repeatedly upheld Wisconsin's voter ID requirement in place since 2011, but some Democrats see a chance to challenge it again, particularly over what IDs can be legally, what IDs can legally be shown. There's also a looming fight over the state's top elections administrator. And here's a quote. It says, "It seems to me that the most consequential topics that could come before the new court would have to do with elections," said Alan Ball, a Marquette University Law School history professor who runs a statistical analysis blog of the court and tendencies of justices. Got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniel Show. Smile and they melt. Having lovers and friends is all good and fine, but I don't like yours and you don't like mine. I don't care what you do.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
It's so hot. Wait, now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT.